When you look at these verses, you realize how few verses are given to the raising of Lazarus itself. And up to only two verses are given for the raising of Lazarus. It just tells us the whole focus of John 11 is not so much in this raising of dead Lazarus, but it is the entire John 11 as we have spent last few weeks. So it is about Christ and His power, His love and mercy. What is then Lazarus? Dead Lazarus cannot do anything apart from God's grace, and he is the recipient of undying love of Christ, just like us. And he is the instrument through which God and Christ, they are glorified. So now we come to finally the verses where Jesus speaks to Lazarus. And let's look at verse 43 again. When he had said these things, last week he prayed. Right before he prayed, he cried out with a loud voice. So I am not going to act it out, but this basically means he is screaming. Okay, Jesus is not saying, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out. But he is screaming on top of his lungs and speaking with authority and certainty. Okay, so verse 43 is not Lazarus, come forth, but it is thundering voice of Christ. Lazarus, come forth. That's probably how Jesus spoke. Okay, so that is the scene. Now, as I was meditating on this verse, I just realized, okay, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44, he comes out. And Jesus tells people to unbind him and let him go. So I always thought, okay, Lazarus hears the voice of Jesus and he comes out. Wait, dead man cannot hear. And I came to the conclusion as something like this. This command, what Jesus says, is not so much for Lazarus to hear, like he is Siri, okay? He is like turned off for a second. And when Jesus says, Lazarus, somehow he's reactivated like our phones do. No, but he is dead. He's been dead for 4 days. And it really doesn't matter how long you've been dead. If you are dead, then you are dead, and dead cannot hear. So when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, it is not so much for Lazarus to hear and respond, but it is the command of life-giving, dead and blackened cell healing, stench removing, soul returning, muscle and joint reinvigorating, command of God Himself all at the same time. He's not like our phone and, hey Siri, and he wakes up. It's not like he was sleeping and Jesus says, Lazarus, and he hears the voice and he wakes up and he comes out. That's why the following verse, verse 44, read with me. What does it say? He called out Lazarus, but verse 44 doesn't say Lazarus came out. But verse 44 says, the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, his face wrapped around with a cloth. You see, the point is that the man was dead and the dead man came out. How is it so? Bible doesn't explain. Bible doesn't explain between what had happened from between verses 43 and verse 44. Actually, there's no post-resurrection, actually resuscitation interview given by Lazarus. What did he see? Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know if he's been dead for 4 days and came back to life by the command of Christ? We want to know so many details. What did you see? How was heaven like? Did you see God? Did you see angels? Did you see your dead grandmother? I want to know all these things, but there's nothing else given in these verses. And immediately verse 45 and following goes to something other than Lazarus, telling us all that has been revealed is enough for our faith and life. So his command, Lazarus, come forth, was life-giving in and of itself, just like God who created all things out of nothing by the command of his own words. Then it is a perfect example of the ministry of the life-giving spirit for the spiritually dead people. What in theology we call it as the effectual calling. Even though we are not physically raised like Lazarus, we have experienced what Lazarus has just experienced. So let me just summarize, and I'm going to move on to that effectual calling section. After thinking about all these things, I looked up Reformation Study Bible, and it was there, and it was a succinctly summarized what I've been just saying. So hear this, how they summarize it. The dead cannot hear, but Jesus wants those present to see that God's voice can raise the dead. This divine call that gives life to the dead vividly illustrates God's call to the spiritually dead that raises them to spiritual life, enabling them both to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow him. The voice of Christ is the voice of God, and it is powerful and life-giving to the dead. Likewise, the Word of God, the gospel with the Spirit, recreates and renews dead sinners. And like I said, what we witness in John 11 is what we have gone through as we were once dead in our spiritual death, but raised through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why don't we spend just a little bit of time thinking about effectual calling, and I'm going to use that to examine our Christian life. Effectual calling is that in his appointed and accepted time, God effectually calls by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. So no one has become a Christian without going through regeneration through the effectual calling of God. God speaking to the dead sinners, you and I, just like Lazarus. But by the grace of God, God spoke the word of life into our lives, and God raised us. When did it happen? But that's what exactly happened to all of us Christians. To be a Christian is to go through something like that of what Lazarus went through in John 11. Commenting on that effectual calling of God, R.C. Sproul comments on this. This effectual calling refers to the omnipotence of God. Far from a mere enticement, God's effectual call on the human soul derives from the power source of omnipotence. The same power that called the world into existence out of nothing is now exercised in our redemption. As God calls the world into being out of nothing, so he calls us to saving faith out of nothing, calling us who have no spiritual virtue whatever. Lazarus was as dead man can be. What about us? If you look back your lives, you may think, I was alive for how many years? I've been alive for 50 years. I've been alive for 14 years. But according to the Bible, through the lens of God, all of us were once the children of wrath, born as children of first Adam. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. When you look at this, how Jesus raised Lazarus, there is no preparation, there is no pretension, there is no beating up the drums and working up the crowd, there is no smoke machine, there is no light shining, there is no chanting, there is no any special effect. But only thing that mattered for Lazarus was the life-giving voice of Christ. That's the only thing that made him alive, correct? It was not thousands of crowds. It was not the priests lined up, chanting, drumming, incantations, and singing, slashing themselves, sacrificing animals. No, nothing else could raise the dead. Lazarus was raised only by and through the word of God in Christ, through Christ. According to the Bible, that's exactly what had happened to us. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins. But God has spoken to us in the same way, life-giving words to our dead spirit. And God made us alive in Christ and for Christ, then I want you to see that. Romans 1:16, Apostle Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? He gives the reason why. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." According to the Bible, brothers and sisters, there is only one hope for this fallen world. That is the voice of God in Christ, the Word of God, the gospel. What could change people from spiritually dead condition? Obviously, that is not discernible from human eyes. But if they are not confessing, professing Christians, according to the Bible, their spirit is as dead as Lazarus was once dead in that tomb. And only thing in this world that could wake them up is the voice of God, the Word of God, the gospel of Christ. God entrusted that good news, life-giving word to whom? God has entrusted that key to the churches. So it is our job, it is our duty to pray for the conversion, to pray for the revival of this nation, and pray that God will heal our land, not financial ruins only, but all this spiritual damnation, fallen condition of humanity. Pray for the revivals of the church this afternoon. Pray for the ministers, preachers to boldly proclaim the word of God alone. They are not spokesperson for one party. They are not representing government. They are not representing one party, one social class. Pastors should represent God and God alone. They should preach the word of God and word alone. So pray for them. And pray for yourselves as well. God has given you that special, precious duty to go to the all nations to proclaim the good news of Christ. And in that way, you are carrying the life-giving voice of God within you when you share the gospel. And God will use these opportunities to shine the light to that darkness, that spiritually dead condition, through the power and help of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about means of regeneration. How does God make people alive? Westminster Confession talks about the Word and the Spirit. Let's just hear what R.C. Sproul says about that. God's call is made effectual, that is, being made effective by the Word and the Spirit. It is important to see that Word and Spirit are here conjoined as two vital factors in regeneration. The Holy Spirit is not working apart from the Word or against the Word, but with the Word. Nor is the Word working alone without the presence and power of the Spirit. The call referred to in effectual calling is not the outward call of the gospel that can be heard by anyone within range of the preaching. The call referred to here is the inward call, the call that penetrates to and pierces the heart, quickening it to spiritual life. Hearing the gospel enlightens the mind, yet it does not awaken the soul until the Holy Spirit illumines and regenerates it. The move from ear to soul is made by the Holy Spirit. This move is what accomplishes God's purpose of applying the benefits of Christ's work to the elect. Correct. How can dead men rise? God speaking, Christ's life-giving command for us, it is the gospel with the power and help of the Spirit. Have you heard the life-giving voice of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is my first question to you. Have you heard? Right? Not just outwardly hearing it, but do you know for sure that Holy Spirit has transferred that hearing into your heart? So if you have heard, check up on these two things. First, appetite for God's word. See if you have that. Okay? If you are born again, you will desire spiritual food. Okay? If you're not born again, then you will feed yourself with all the earthly pleasures. But think about it. If you are truly born again into a spiritual life, then which is going to feed that spiritual baby is spiritual food, you see. So if you check your appetite for your spiritual food, that is the Word of God, that could be a good litmus test to see whether you are a born-again Christian or not. So 1 Peter 2:2 says this, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. I am always worried to see Christians in the church who have no regard for the Word of God. I am not saying this because I'm a preacher or pastor, but there are people in the church, wherever you are, they're busy serving, busy doing, busy going, serving. Yet when it comes time for the time to hear the Word of God, whether it is preaching, whether it is Bible studies, whether it is small groups, whether it is reading, whether it is meditation, whatever it is, they have no inclination whatsoever about that. They love to serve God, but they never really sit at the feet of Jesus Christ to listen to the Word of God. So check your appetite for God's Word to check whether it's to see whether you are truly born again and regenerated person or not. Second category for you to think about is, are you a teachable person? There are so many Christians who do not want to listen, who do not want to listen to the Word of God. They have already set minds, mostly by their upbringings, their worldview. They don't want to change. They don't see the need for that change. They know they are Christians because they professed Christ, and their life stays the same because they are never really listening to the Word of God. That would be a sad picture, isn't it? For Christians to remain as they are, just like the world, holding on to that faint hope of salvation by walking down the aisle, or that emotional state that once I was in, thinking that my salvation is secure. The third and final topic that I want to talk about is the fruit. Now think about it. Can you imagine Lazarus, after being raised from the dead, miracle of miracles and hundreds of witnesses, and he becomes an atheist? Or he lives a sinful life, he goes back to sinful life, whatever, I don't know, we don't know much about him. Can you imagine him renouncing Christ? Can you imagine him not serving in the Church of Christ in coming weeks and months and years? Can you imagine him living in a lifestyle that betrays that miracle that had happened to him? That would be a sad thing. That would break Christ's heart, wouldn't it? But that is the picture of so many Christians. That's exactly what is happening. When God has spoken to you and has made you alive, that person, you are not Siri. You are dead. All of us, we were dead. Whether you were born into Christian family or not, it does not matter. Until God has raised you through the Word of God in the Spirit, you are dead. But we, many of us, we have become alive, just like Lazarus. But we, if we keep on sinning, though there is habitual sin that all of us may struggle with, but can you imagine a lifestyle? No, I cannot imagine that. When you think about Lazarus, for all the things that Christ had done for him, how ungrateful for him to turn away from Christ and not living for Christ, but living for himself. Can you imagine that scenario? No, that's sacrilege. That is just not right. We were raised just like Lazarus. How can we live a life that does not bring glory to God? So the final section regarding the fruit of regeneration, Sproul comments in this way. The effect of this inward calling on the sinner is real. Regeneration and effectual calling effect a real change in the person. I know so many people, preachers, are afraid to talk about that because it sounds like introducing works Only because when you separate justification and sanctification, which is wrong theology, but regeneration and effectual calling effect a real change in the person, he is not merely induced to a particular action that he otherwise might not take. Regeneration produces a real and substantive change in the person's constituent nature. His will is renewed and liberated. He is freed from the bondage of original sin. He receives a new disposition for the things of God. Saving faith is worked in the heart. As a result of regeneration, the person becomes a new creature. As the Bible says, so that if anyone in Christ, a new creature or new creation. If you have heard the gospel inward call, and if you are born again Christian, let us soberly check on our life's fruit. Are we bearing good fruit for Christ? Are we bearing spiritual fruit? Or are we like that unimaginable scenario? Dead man now raised Lazarus, living for himself for the worldly pleasures. Is that the picture that describes you? Or are you willing to grow in the mature state, the fullness maturity in Christ Jesus? I hope you could say amen to that. Lazarus, come forth. These are the most powerful words that were ever spoken on earth. And we trust Christ to raise us and for our neighbors and nations as well. I hope you could pray to that end.